Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Today on the show, actress Olivia Taylor Dudley talks about growing up in Southern California and surviving a wildfire.
We load up the car with all, mostly just my mom's jewelry and pictures of, the family and all that kind of stuff. And my dad is literally out in the field surrounding the house with the firefighters. And then helicopters start flying over and picking up water from our creek and dropping water on the house above us and in the fields around us. And it literally was something out of a movie. It felt like the end of the world.
Today on the show, actress Olivia Taylor Dudley tells a harrowing story about surviving a wildfire on the central coast of California. Stay close.
Hey, it's Olivia Taylor Dudley from The Magicians, and you're listening to Story.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Los Angeles, California. I am so glad you guys tuned in today. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you guys enjoyed the story last week from Laura House. Laura, she has a new comedy album out. I'll say that. It's called Mouth Punch. I like that name, Mouth Punch. Anyway, Laura told a story about being on a houseboat with her hillbilly friends. You can't go wrong. Hillbillies. Houseboats, they go together. That's not true. But the houseboat she was on was like it was ramshackle. You know what I mean? Olivia, have you ever been on a houseboat?
I grew up, my family has boats and had a yacht sales yard, but I get terribly seasick. So no, I avoid them at all costs.
Interesting. But you know what I'm talking about? Houseboats where it's like a solid house that is now floating.
Yeah.
So would that make you sick?
Yeah, totally.
Really?
Even cruise ships make me sick.
Oh.
Big boats.
Bummer.
And they barely move. I think it's all in my head.
I mean, no. I've gotten sick on many things, like mountain roads I get sick.
Yeah,
and I've gotten sick like deep sea fishing. I used to try to do that and I would get sick. But I would think that, cruise ships where they're stabilizers, you get sick.
Yeah, still.
Bummer, man.
I know.
Anyway, you guys, go back and listen to Laura House's story about being on a houseboat with her crazy friends and getting arrested. There, I'll spoil it. That's what happened. But not today, because today I'm here with actress Olivia Taylor Dudley from the sci-fi show The Magicians. Now, that show, I don't know if it really hits my demographic, but I will say a lot of good-looking people on that show.
Yeah, it's a pretty cast.
There is something for everyone.
Yeah.
Is what's happening. But it's a little bit like Harry Potter, I felt like.
Yeah, it's like Harry Potter for adults. It's actually, you'd be surprised what demographic it's been hitting, because it's not just about magic like Harry Potter.
No.
So it's about human stories and these people growing up and, dealing with really dramatic things that happen in people's lives. So, yeah.
It's sort of like a soap opera.
Yeah.
But set in this fantasy world.
Yeah.
So you play Alice Quinn. Mm-hmm. And anyway, you bring forth the topic today, I survived a Southern California wildfire. And that is very specific.
Yes.
Because we know what happened. And I'm so glad that you did survive, obviously.
Me too.
But I'll tell you, I've lived in California now for almost 21 years. I can't believe that, by the way.
There are so many fires here, and especially this year was a horrific year.
It was. But I was just going to say, I can't believe I've lived in California for almost 21 years. Like,
where'd you come from?
I came from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, nice.
But the most I ever lived there was, I guess, yeah, so maybe I've lived here longer than there. Anyway, the point is we didn't have any kind of this, we didn't have anything like these sorts of fires and all of these
earthquakes.
Well, we did have, of course, a lot of snow and a lot of thunderstorms and stuff like that. So we had our own natural issues. We had our own things from nature to deal with. But the wildfires are just wild. Like, is that why they're called wildfires? Because they're wild.
Because they're
out of control.
They're out of control.
And like you said, the 2017 California wildfire season was the most destructive on record.
Yeah.
I looked it up. In October alone, 2017, 250 wildfires ignited across Northern California.
It was crazy. I mean, a ton of my friends up in Ventura and Ojai had to evacuate. I know somebody who lost their house. I was with them the day it happened.
Wow.
And I was living in Ventura before I worked up in Vancouver. So I know so many people that their houses got burned. And it's crazy.
Yeah, it's really super dramatic. And you don't hear that 250 happened in October. You maybe hear about three or four of the big ones. Yeah. But anyway, so last year was the worst, including that one that destroyed, which one was it? The Skirball fire was the one that happened right here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, the 405.
By the Getty.
Yeah.
Did you see those photos?
Crazy. And everyone was like stuck in traffic and they couldn't go anywhere and there's just flames around them.
Like the apocalypse.
It was terrifying.
And I kept thinking, could they let the Getty burn down?
They didn't.
I know that. But my point is like, if it whipped through that canyon the way that it happened through Santa Rosa, where it was just fireballs were going down the street and just incinerating properties.
Yeah.
If it was that hot, then it could have gone over the Getty.
Yeah, I think it could have gone under the Getty. I mean, I asked a lot of people about that because I was obviously everyone's very worried about the artwork there. And I guess they have tons of things in place there, and the way they built it is very fire retardant, and they have like cement and brick. And
yeah,
it's,
no, I know.
I mean, and anything's possible.
And they would be, they would obviously bring in every resource they could, but if it was that hot, the way that they were taking place last year in Northern California, I just wonder. Another one was the Thomas Fire in Ventura County. Yeah. That one, I read, forced over 230,000 people to evacuate.
Yeah, it was
a
terrifying.
Quarter million people. That's like this whole city of Pittsburgh would have to evacuate.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Well, I'm anxious to hear your story. Obviously, you grew up in Southern California. So you grew up very different from me. Did you ever spend time on the East Coast?
Not as a child, no. I mean, I go there for work now all the time. But I've been to Pennsylvania. I went there once.
Really?
Yeah, I loved it. I went to visit my friend's band that was making an album out there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where at? What town was it in?
I have no idea.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember driving. I don't even know where we started.
Oh, it's a really long state. Mm-hmm. Like Pennsylvania goes for quite some time. And if you're on the turnpike, you're like in this gullet and it just goes east to west, man. And don't you veer off because there is no, very, very few like other, like there's not even guardrails half the time or even like a divider in the middle. It's just those other cars are coming at you. It's crazy. But there are rest stops.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Which usually have like a Taco Bell Pizza Hut.
That's always a good combo.
I know. All right. Listen, before we get to Olivia's story, I did want to remind you guys to head over to storyworthypodcast.com and join the mailing list. There. I said it. And don't forget to subscribe to Storyworthy on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you guys listen to your podcasts. Hey, if you love great storytelling, and I know you do, listen to LA Theater Works podcast on Wondery. They stage and record plays live in performance with actors in front of mics and add sound effects and music so it becomes a completely immersive audio experience. And they've been doing it a long time and have recorded over 500 plays. LA Theater Works' recent podcasts include Top Secret, The Battle for the Pentagon Papers, about the notorious leaked documents, Steel Magnolias, the story of six friends at a beauty salon, and Things You Shouldn't Say Past Midnight, which is a wild sex comedy that's definitely not safe for work. And that's just a few of their stories. So if you're an audio drama fan, listen to LA Theater Works. They bring live and recorded theater to the world, and they're right here on Wondery. All right, you guys, she's here right now. Olivia Taylor Dudley. She is an actress, like we said, who currently stars on Sci-Fi's The Magicians. But you've done so much other work, Olivia. I'm so impressed. Some of your film and TV credits include Aquarius, The Mindy Project, Paranormal Activity, Ghost Dimension, and The Chernobyl Diaries. And you are also a founding member of the sketch comedy group 5 Second Films, which cracks me up because I have a game show, right? Story Smash. I'm sure you know of it. Well, you should know of it. You will know of it. It's damn fun. You should play. It's at the Improv every month. And basically, people tell, they spin a wheel, and whatever the wheel lands on, they tell a true 1 or 2 minute story.
Oh, wow.
Well, one time we were performing at El Cid on Sunset.
Oh,
and 5 Second Films was the show before ours. And it was so funny because it was 5 Second Films. So you guys are literally putting a whole film together in five seconds, a beginning and a middle and an end.
Yes.
In 5 seconds. Then my show comes on and you're telling a story in 1 minute.
That's crazy.
And it's just like the idea of our ability to focus in LA.
Yeah, or not focus. I mean, I think that like 5 Second Films was born out of, I mean, we created that like long before Vine or Instagram stories or any of that stuff. So it was the first like short term storytelling form, and it was just out of like pure how can we tell a story as fast as possible.
It really is effective though. It's amazing what you can accomplish in really like 5 shots.
Yeah.
Is it usually 5 shots?
Oh gosh, they're all different. Like depending on what we're doing, some of them are 1 shot, some of them have been at like 100 shots edited really fast. So.
Wow. And you guys can find out more about that at 5secondfilms.com. And you guys can find Olivia over on Twitter at Olivia Dudley and also on Instagram at Olivia Taylor Dudley. Okay, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Olivia Taylor Dudley.
So I grew up in Central California in Morro Bay, California, on a horse ranch that my family owns. And I live with my mom, my dad, my 2 sisters, and my grandmother. And this happened when I was about, I think, 9 years old. The day before it happened, my whole family and I, we went to the beach, to Avila Beach, which is like this really beautiful beach on the coast of California. And it was one of those like hot summer days where the Santa Ana winds were blowing in from the desert, which anybody who's from California knows that the Santa Ana winds can always mean a fire because it's just blowing hot air and it's no coastal winds, no moisture, and it's kind of a recipe for disaster. And it was a dry summer, so like we have, I think, about 40 acres on the ranch. And so at any moment, they could just go up into flames. So it's kind of that fear every year. And we went to the beach, and it was a beautiful day, and we're on our way home from the beach, and we see off in the distance over the mountains some smoke coming up, which is terrifying to see when you live out in the country. And we're like, oh, but it looks really far away, not a big deal. We looked at the news. There was a small fire that broke out in the woods miles and miles and miles away, like nowhere near us, no big deal. So we went about our day, went to sleep. My mom left for work. She was left town that night. So it was just my sister, my grandma, and my dad, and I, and my newborn baby sister. I wake up in my bunk bed the next morning, and everything is orange. And I'm covered in ash, and I can barely breathe. And I have no idea, I'm 9 years old, I don't really have a concept of what this means. So I get up, I'm coughing, I'm walking through the house, and I can't find anyone. And I walk outside, and no joke, the entire sky is black and orange. And I can't find my sister, I can't find my dad, I can't find anyone. And then I run around the house and I'm looking for them. And then I find my dad outside with the firemen. And my dad's like literally holding a hose, spraying down the roof of our house. So what you do when there's a fire is you put a sprinkle on the rooftop of your house so that you moisturize, you get it all wet all around your house in the rooftop. That way the fire just wants to move around it. So I run back inside and I find my sister, Emily, and she's collecting jewelry. She's collecting all my mom's jewelry. She's collecting, she's 3 years older than me, so she kind of had her stuff together a little bit more than me. And she's like, get all your things, get all your things. And I still like don't really have a concept of what's happening. So then I go in my room and I start collecting all my toy horses because I have a big collection of toy horses. So I get a suitcase together of toy horses and I go outside and my dad runs over and he's like, the fire's here. It came overnight. There were, I think, 13 fire trucks on our ranch. All these firemen, I have no idea how many, I think probably about 50. And at this point, we can barely see. And my dad doesn't want to leave the ranch because he's helping put out the fire. And so my grandma, he goes and gets my grandma, and we start loading up the car to leave. And as we're about to leave, my dad says, the fireman says, you have to let all the horses loose. So I'm a 9-year-old girl who's, I was showing horses competitively, breeding horses, like they're my life, and I have to like let my ponies go. And so I'm kicking and screaming and crying, but there's an amazing thing with horses and animals. If you let them loose in a natural disaster, they always find their way back, which I didn't believe, of course, at the time, but we had to do it. So I had to go down and I had to let all my horses loose, and they just start running away from the flames immediately. Like they're so smart and they're such survivors. So I was heartbroken, crying. We load up the car with all, you know, mostly just my mom's jewelry and photo pictures of, you know, the family and all that kind of stuff. And my dad is literally out in the field surrounding the house with the firefighters. And then helicopters start flying over and picking up water from our creek and dropping water on the house above us and in the fields around us. And it literally was something out of a movie. Like I don't wish anybody would experience it, but I know a lot of people in California have experienced it. But it felt like the end of the world. So, of course, my dad wanted to get us out as soon as possible. So we get into my grandma's car, and my grandma's panicking. And we start driving down the road, and it's about a 3-mile drive before you hit the highway. And we're driving away from the fire, thank goodness. But we're just leaving my dad and the dogs and anybody that we couldn't fit in the car on the property. And we start driving away. We get to the end of the road, 3 miles away, and we realize we had left my little sister, Madison, in the crib. So we're freaking out. My grandma's like fucking panicking. And so we whip around, go back, grab her, get her in the car, and then go. And we basically waited out the whole day at the end of the road, just hoping and praying that the house isn't burning down and that my dad is still alive and that everything is okay. Meanwhile, we can't get a hold of my mom to tell her what's happening because she's off working somewhere. I mean, it was just terrible. So we waited out, and then before you know it, we start seeing fire trucks by the end of the day start coming out. And like the whole town is full of smoke. There's no way of knowing how much had burned. I think by the morning we learned it had already burned about 25,000 acres from when we saw it the night before till it hit our house. So they move really fast. And so the fire trucks start leaving, so it seems like things are okay. And so we drive back up, and my dad just covered in ash, and it just is a mess. The fire had burned all of our property except for the houses. It had burned the backside of two of the houses, like went through the houses but didn't burn them down. How on earth it didn't burn them down, I don't know, because like these houses, they were built out of like 100-year-old barn wood that my great-grandfather put together. Like they should have burned down like that, but for some reason they didn't. I think they spray crazy like fire retardant stuff when they're trying to put fires out, like on top of everything as they're going. So we got really lucky. Our houses didn't burn down. But what was crazy was it takes years before things are back to normal when a fire happens. So like that wasn't the only traumatic part. So the houses were okay. Everyone showed up from the town to come help. I think, like teachers my dad went to school with were coming and fighting fires. Like cousins were coming in with hoses and fighting the fire. And then you have to keep putting it out for a really long time because they just keep sparking. So then what happens after that is all the wildlife start coming down. So there's no food left for them up in the mountains. So then that was all very traumatic and very exciting that we survived. But then for months after that, there were bears, mountain lions, bobcats, everything you can think of, coyotes were coming down into our property right up to our front door because they had no food because a lot of the animals had died or flown away or gone down creek. So it was really scary for a really, really long time. And I think it took about 2 or 3 years for the whole property to kind of come back to life. And you know what's amazing? The horses came back. None of the animals got injured, which was great. The firefighters ended up coming back like a week later, and my dad barbecued for them. I don't know if barbecuing was the right choice after a fire for the firefighters, but he wanted to show them the appreciation. And what was really funny is that my sister, you know, she saved all the jewelry of my mom, my mom's jewelry. And so the local newspaper did a small article on the fire and like us specifically. And they're like, you know, young girl saves the ranch and her baby sister and baby brother. They called me a little boy in the news article, which I always thought was really funny. I mean, I did kind of look like Macaulay Culkin when I was little, but so yeah, that's like the basic story of surviving it. It was a horrible day that I will never forget. And every time there's a fire in California, I'm like, I can't, my entire system shuts down and I just want to help because I know how difficult it is. I know when this last fire happened, I donated as much money as they could to all the humane societies, and it's a really scary thing.
Wow, Olivia, that it's an amazing story. Has anything like that again happened around your ranch?
Well, nothing has come close, but every time there's a fire, and I'm talking like an hour, 2 hours away, it could come within.
But is there nothing left to burn there?
It could burn. That's what I'm saying. Like after about 2 years, everything's grown back and dried up again.
Oh, I see.
And ready to burn.
Wow.
So you're only safe for a little while.
Does it smell after?
Yeah, it smelled like it's like a campfire for so long and all the
for
mountains.
For weeks and weeks.
Months and months and all the mountains are turned black. Everything's black. It's like, I don't know, there's that scene in The Lion King where they go to, I forget, the Death Valley area and the lions and they're all the bones. And, and it feels like that. It feels like an apocalyptic wasteland.
Did your ranch have a name?
Yeah, it does.
But what was it called?
It still has the name. I don't want to name it.
Okay, interesting. No, I understand. And so I can't believe you guys left your newborn. How little was your little sister?
She was 10 months old.
She was a baby.
She was a baby. Because we were panicking.
So she was sleeping the whole time.
She was sleeping, yeah. Just now I realized, thinking back, why didn't anyone wake me up? But I think my dad and my grandma, all they wanted to do was keep us from panicking. So right. to leave me asleep until we could get the car packed and just like throw us in the car was the goal. And I think my grandma was just panicked, and I can't believe we forgot medicine. I think she still has issues from that.
Yeah, I can imagine she got left. The title of her story would be I got left in a wildfire. Yeah. Exactly. I can't get over you grew up in Morro Bay, just because like I've been to Morro Bay 3 or 4 times.
Really?
But it's always, of course, on a vacation, yeah, you know, yeah. And you take a trip up there and you stay and you walk around this big rock and you look at the birds, a lot of sand dollars on the beach.
Oh, yeah, tons of sand dollars.
Beautiful. And then that beach we're talking about, Avila Beach.
Uh-huh.
That has some huge waves, right?
Yeah. Big surf place.
Yeah, big surf place.
I'm the only person in Morro Bay who doesn't surf.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And because you weren't really a beach person, you were a ranch person.
Yeah, I was a ranch girl.
So how many horses did you have?
I think at one point I had up to like 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
And is that how your parents made a living or?
No, my dad is a geologist. My mom, she works in sales. They had like insurance, but it was just my great grandfather. I mean, my grandma and my step grandpa had the ranch together, and that used to be a dairy farm. So I retrofitted all the dairy cow like pens, and we turned it into a horse ranch when I was little. And
your parents, obviously.
It must have
been their dream, then.
Yeah, my mom rode horses growing up, and she rode horses, so she got me into it. And I was like, I think two or three years old, I started riding horses.
Wow.
And right when I could walk.
Do you still ride?
I just got rid of my last horse about 6 months ago. I had to give the last one away because I've lived in L.A. for about 15 years now or more, and so I can't. It's so hard to have horses in L.A.
Well, you would board them somewhere, but it must be very expensive.
What's crazy about that is I did board a horse for a while in Malibu when I first moved here, which was crazy expensive. It was more than my rent at the time, and I was a broke actor living on my own. And I moved my horse out because I couldn't afford it, took the horse back to the ranch. A week later, one of the forest fires hit Malibu and burned that horse ranch down.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
It's crazy.
You're so lucky. What was the name of that horse?
Lucy.
How do people name horses? A lot of them, Lucy sounds pretty regular, but sometimes they get the craziest names. What's all that about?
It's all crazy. It's like breeding. It's you know, their bloodlines. They want to pass down the same name and the name of the ranch and where they were born. And
so confusing. Have you ever played the game where you kind of just sit around the table and everybody talks about what they don't know anything about? You know, you might just say, I don't know anything about scuba diving. And then if somebody else does know, then they pipe it up.
That's a good game.
I made it up. But, but I think it could be a thing. But anyway, if we were to go around the table, I would say, I don't know anything about horses. It's just such a different world to me. And I think obviously for most people, because it is very specific.
Yeah.
And living on that ranch, so isolated, right?
Yeah, I was homeschooled for a long time, so I was like that weird ranch kid who talked to animals most of the time, and I don't think I've changed very much.
You had a creek.
Yeah, we had a creek that runs through the ranch on the property that goes out to the ocean.
Yeah, oh really, that goes out to the ocean. Did you ever have the mudslides then?
Yeah, we did. That's what that happens after a fire. The mudslides happen if you're lucky enough to get rain. Now we've been flooded where we can't leave the ranch.
Like, because obviously all the foliage is gone from the fire. Mm-hmm. And then.
Yeah, there's nothing holding anything, like the dirt together, like the root system. Yeah, so then rainwater just washes everything down.
Sometimes you see those pictures, it's just incredible.
I know.
Yeah, really, really scary.
It's terrifying.
And so you've never been through anything like that again?
Not like that, thank goodness. No, I mean, in L.A. this last year, where I live on the east side, was very close to one of the fires. I forget what the name was. There were so many names within 1 week. There was like 5 different fires.
That was the one in the, I know what you're talking about, past Sunland.
Yeah, the Sunland fire. Yeah, I live way out there, and it, you could see it from our house.
And that's horse property.
Yeah.
So you still live in horse property.
Yeah, kind of. I'm a little bit in like Eagle Rockish area.
Perfect. Yeah, I love that area. Yeah, it's perfect. So you mentioned you were homeschooled because you mentioned to me a little earlier before we started that you dropped out of school.
Yeah, I dropped out of school when I was in seventh grade. The first month of seventh.
Your parents obviously allowed you.
They did. I had a lot of like social anxieties growing up, so going to school was really difficult for me. And I think the transition to seventh grade, like a new school environment, I started having really bad panic attacks the first month I was there, and I couldn't get myself to go to school. And so my parents were supportive of it and recognized it, and they let me homeschool for 2 years. And I basically just rode horses the whole time. Like, I don't know. I think homeschooling works for some people. It worked for me in the sense that I got to ride my horses and kept me out of trouble, but I don't know if I got a proper education that way.
Yeah. Well, did you ever have to take tests like exit exams for something?
Yeah,
or
I would,
moving on to the next grade level?
Yeah, I had like a tutor that I'd go to once a week for like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
That's like through the school system, like an independent study system. But they didn't really care that much.
Did you have friends from the elementary school that were going on to that school? I mean, did you have a support system?
Yeah, I did. I was just a strange kid, so I didn't have a lot of friends.
Do you think,
I just didn't have a good friend system going into
it. Was part of it because you guys were isolated? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. How about your sisters?
My older sister dropped out of school the same day I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait.
But she was a bad kid.
Hold on.
She was up to no good.
Hold
so
on.
She kind of just dropped out.
What happened with your parents? What was going on with your parents?
My parents are wonderful.
But like, what was going on at that time that two kids drop out of school at the same day?
You know, I don't know. My older sister, she fell into the wrong crowd. And she was in the high school at the time. And I think it was just she recognized if she stayed there, she was going to probably not graduate, probably not, you know, get, you know, stay in drugs and do all that kind of stuff. So I think what she heard that morning that I was like not going to school. So then she went to school and left and said, I'm not going to school. And my poor parents had two teenage girls refusing to go to school. So I don't know how they dealt with it so well, but everyone turned out great. I tried to go to the high school for like, I think a month or 2 months, and then I got kicked out, and then I just moved to LA.
But then you had a passion for learning acting.
Yeah.
So you did follow. I mean, in other words, like, my fear in when people listen to me, I sound so old, but like when people drop out of school is that they learn that they lose their desire to learn.
Totally.
Or they lose their they somehow settle, like, this is the way it's going to be, and then they kind of stay at one plane.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to push forward if nobody's making you sometimes.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not an advocate for people dropping out of school. I really
Do you hear that, kids?
Yeah, I really think school is really important, but
part of it is just like getting through the stick-to-itiveness of like working through and starting something.
Totally.
Finishing what you start or something.
Yeah, and I had been wanting to act since I was little. So acting was something that was on my mind since I was about 5 years old.
Yeah.
So my parents knew that, and they knew that that's what I wanted to do. And I got an agent when I was like 15 years old on my own.
Fabulous.
So they were like, look, if you homeschool, you have to keep pursuing your dream. Like, you can't just give up on that. So they were supportive, and I never once from that moment on. So I give them
credit
for my career, because I wouldn't have... I think if I'd stayed in school, I might have had a slightly different path.
Yeah.
Because I think everyone has different ways of learning. And you know, now I wish I was in school now, but I love learning and I read. And I went in reverse.
I totally agree with you about different styles of learning, because I'm hitting that point in my daughter's life where she's going from fifth to sixth grade. And that's the transition where she goes to a different school.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know the one path, the traditional school, where she should be going and maybe will be going. I'm not sure yet, but it's a traditional way of learning. They have 2 hours of homework a night, da-da-da-da-da-da. But I know that that didn't work for me, like, at all. Like, I honestly, I've learned more about American history since my daughter started listening to Hamilton than I ever learned in school. Like, I just didn't learn because it just wasn't a fit for me. And I see sometimes my daughter struggling. And anyway, so then we have another choice of a school that's, you know, has no homework, no grades, 100% of the kids go on to further education. So that seems more... It just seems like what I did didn't work, and I could see that not working for her.
Yeah, I think parents need to listen to their kids.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, man.
That's tough.
You think you're going to have kids someday?
Yeah, I would love to have kids.
Good on you.
Yeah.
Good on you. It's huge. It's huge. But anyway, you're having a good time on The Magicians. I'm thrilled for you.
Thanks.
Have you learned any tricks? Is there anything we should know?
Well, The Magicians, the kind of magic we do is more like sorcery magic. Like, we have like actual magic powers. So it's not as much of sleight of hand kind of card tricks. So
that's very interesting that they called it The Magicians, because isn't that somewhat deceptive then?
Yeah, but magicians in, like, you know, classic storytelling have been sorcerers, magicians. You perform magic. And then, you know, over time, people have turn that into doing card tricks and pretending to be able to do magic. So there's just two different schools
of magic. So sorcerers didn't have cards?
No. No. But people on Hollywood Boulevard have cards.
But did they have big pointy hats?
Oh, maybe, yeah. We don't.
Do you guys have
cute little outfits?
Do you guys have, you do have cute outfits. And really, it's very polished, the whole show. Yeah, yeah. It's beautiful.
It's super fun.
Do you have a lot of special effects people on the show?
We do. We have an amazing creative team. And we learn, we do spells on the show that's called tutting. So they're these intricate hand movements that...
Is that a real word? Did you make it up?
No, tutting is like a form of breakdancing.
How do you spell it?
T-U-T-T-I-N-G.
Tutting.
Tutting.
You just made that up.
No, I didn't. It's like a huge part of breakdancing culture. And the show is based on a book series, The Magicians.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah. And okay. In the book series, there, that's the name right there.
The Magicians. Yeah. We didn't name it for the show.
Right.
But they talk about these hand movements in the book. So then our producers went and found choreographers who do, they choreograph all of our spells. So
wow.
It's super complicated stuff we have to do. And then they put special effects on it and... Ugh, so fun.
And how about everybody in the cast? I mean, obviously, you're all very fortunate to be working on the show. Everybody must love what they're doing.
Yeah, it's such a fun show to work on.
And does everybody get along real well?
Yeah, it's like a family. It's a big group of us. We spend 16 hours a day together.
Yeah. Has anybody hooked up?
No, most. I mean, like, a few of us are married. Everyone's in relationships. It's like, I think we got lucky on our show because most of us are in our 30s.
Yeah.
So... we're all kind of settled in life, which
makes
it
people
very
don't
easy.
Look in their 30s on
no,
the show.
I'm 32 young. And I play a 24-year-old.
Yeah,
on the
you
show.
Totally. Everybody looks.
Yeah.
Well, you look young anyway, but I'm just saying, like on the show, it's everybody does look like they're like Twilight age.
Yeah. No. Everyone's very relaxed. We go out for like family dinners at like 7
because
p.m.
you guys are all up in Canada shooting, but most everybody really is from LA.
Actually, I think most of the cast is from New York. A lot of theater actors on the show and then a few of us from Los Angeles.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
And so I forget why I wrote this down, but I make notes, you know, when I'm learning about the guests. I wrote down a Ouija board thing. You got a Ouija board thing?
Oh, my grandmother, the one I spoke of, who... on the ranch.
Who drove the getaway car and left your sister for dead.
She was one of the people who raised us, and she was really into supernatural stuff. So I was raised in a household that was like very nurturing of having like a very vivid imagination.
Open to that. Yeah.
Open to that kind of stuff. So growing up, like my birthdays every year growing up, I would have all my friends come over. We'd stay in one of the haunted buildings on the ranch, and we'd do seances and play with the Ouija board.
Wait. What do you mean the haunted buildings?
Our ranch was pretty haunted.
Well, is that because your grandmother said so, or was it? What did you experience?
I experienced a ton of stuff growing up.
Like?
Oh, man. It was pretty terrifying all the time. But I have a very vivid imagination. So, you know, now thinking back, I don't know what was real and what wasn't. But like one example. One night I was watching TV on my grandmother's couch. I don't know where they were. They were in one of the other houses. And the remote was sitting next to me on a different cushion, and all of a sudden the remote flew across the room and the TV went to static and it stayed that way for 30 minutes while I hid under a blanket until they walked in, and the second my mom and grandma walked in the door, the TV went back to what channel I was watching. Things like that.
That's
happened
huge.
All the time.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Wait a second. Why did you have two houses?
We had the house that I grew up in, and then the house my grandmother lived in. And then a whole bunch of other buildings, like an art studio and a haunt room.
Oh, gosh. You had a dream childhood.
It was. It was really fantastic.
Your parents must be so proud of how far you've come.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
Because they nurtured you, and then look what they got.
Yeah.
See that?
Yeah, it was amazing. I think growing up in the country is really wonderful. I don't know. I'll probably end up having to raise my kids in the city because that's where I work. But I would adventure off every day. And
yeah.
Yes,
I think it just depends, you know, I don't know. I grew up in a very rural setting, you know, I mean, the suburbs, but it was kind of rural.
Yeah.
But, you know, so it was super safe and everything. You ride your bike, walk out of the house, et cetera, et cetera. But very little in terms of culture, in terms of, you know, doing things. Like my daughter and I, we can go down to the Pantages Theater and see a show tonight. Not even think twice.
You can do it.
You
so
can
many
go
things
over
here.
The Hollywood
ending.
Bowl, just no reason at all. Just go hang out over there. Do you know you can run the steps there at the Hollywood Bowl?
No.
I mean, just go, not necessarily run the steps, but you can exercise
I didn't
there.
Know that.
Yeah, during the day.
Oh, cool.
It's just open. It's a park. The whole Hollywood Bowl, and the days that there's performances, they do sound checks.
Oh,
and
nice.
You can just sit and listen to a sound check.
That's fun.
Who knew? Yeah. So anyway, that kind of stuff. Like, I really like that about the city, about having a lot of stuff at my fingertips and choices.
Totally. I know. I love that now. Now when I go back to the ranch, it's fun for about a day. And then I'm like, wait, well, now what do I do?
So do you go back to Morro Bay often?
I do. I go back as much as I can. I mean, when I'm working, when I'm in Vancouver, that's for 6 months of the year. And I don't really get to leave.
Yeah.
But I just got back into town and I spend the holidays there. And I try to go every few months.
Do you ever do the wine tasting there in town?
I do sometimes.
That's so sweet.
My best friend Sabrina used to run all the wine tours up there.
So fun, right?
So fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it's like a vacation place.
It is, yeah.
So you kind of...
I should do it more. I take it for granted because I grew up around it, so I don't...
Yeah. Well, there's this big rock. That's the whole thing.
Morro Rock.
Yeah. And if you look closely, that rock is fantastic. I mean, in terms of the wildlife on the rock.
Yeah, it's a volcano. It's part of the Seven Sisters, which are these seven volcanoes that are in a line.
In a string.
And the Morro Rock is the most famous one. It's weird to be from a town that's famous for a rock.
And also otters. There's a lot of otters.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of otters.
Which are really so,
so
sweet.
Cute.
Yeah, they are. Except then I saw this Uber fact on Twitter, and it said that otters have been known to rape baby seals.
Oh, I saw that.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Is it true? Do you think that's
know.
True? You're from Morro Bay.
I know, but I've never seen it. I've never seen an otter rape
Olivia. Hey, listen, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Super interesting. I hope you guys never have to experience another fire.
Thank you.
Terrifying, man. Terrifying. All right, you guys, I got to wrap it up right about now. I want to thank you so much for tuning in today. Let Olivia know that you enjoyed her story and wish her well over on Twitter and Twitter at Olivia Dudley. And then you can follow me over there as well at Storyworthy. And join us next week on Storyworthy for comedian Bob Golub as he talks about how he got his role in the movie Goodfellas.
And they said, the Scorsese is going to do this film based on this book. I said, oh my God, I got to get an audition. Now, at this time, please understand, I didn't have an agent, manager. I've never read for anything in my life.
Don't miss Bob Golub next week on Storyworthy. All right, you guys, I want to thank everybody over at Wondery Media, including Hernan Lopez, and everybody on the Wondery team. And a huge thank you to the sponsors on the show today. Honestly, you guys, when you support my sponsors, you're supporting me, and we can keep doing this. So thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. And one more time, on behalf of the very talented Olivia Taylor Dudley, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
My name is Christine Blackburn, saying make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.